You have known it since grade school. I mean, you probably learned it without even batting an eye.
Right. Just accepted it as a basic fact of the universe and moved on.
Exactly. 186,000 miles per second.
Yep.
The constant speed of light in a vacuum. we denote it with the letter C. It's the ultimate speed limit of the universe,
yeah.
Right? The unbreakable rule governing how fast anything can travel through space.
That's the textbook definition, yeah.
But what if that specific number isn't just a random law of physics at all? What if, you know, 186,000 miles per second is actually a highly precise, mathematically calculated weapon designed to keep the entire universe from collapsing into absolute darkness?
Well, framing it as a weapon, or maybe the ultimate defensive architecture, it completely changes how we look at the foundation of our physical reality.
It really does.
We are no longer looking at, you know, a simple physics equation on a chalkboard.
Hmm.
We're looking at a cosmic strategy deployed with a very specific, desperate purpose.
And that is the exact mission for our deep dive today. We are exploring some incredibly fascinating source material, a text called The Dawn of Flame Beings.
Mythological musings based on a cosmology of light.
Right, by Dr. Praveer Malik. And this work, it builds this comprehensive mythology on his 10-book Cosmology of Light series, while drawing heavily on the philosophical insights of Sri Aurobindo's epic poem, Savitri.
Yeah, and to set the stage properly for you, the listener, we have to clarify that we are not just unpacking a standard peer-reviewed physics paper today.
Definitely not.
This is a profound, sprawling mythology. The text takes abstract mathematical and scientific concepts, specifically the speed of light at infinity, at zero, and at C, and it personifies them.
Which is such a wild concept.
It is. These varying speeds become the literal basis for creators, dark titans, cosmic battles, and, you know, the ultimate destiny of every atom in the universe.
It's a stunning synthesis of hard science, theoretical mathematics, and just ancient mythological storytelling.
It really reads like an epic blockbuster.
But the characters are fundamental laws of physics.
Exactly.
So to understand why the specific speed of Cedar, 186,000 miles per second, is the hero of this story, we actually have to zoom way, way out.
We need to explore the extreme boundaries of this cosmology first.
Right. We have to look at what happens to light at infinite speed and what happens to it at zero speed.
Let's begin at the absolute upper limit. So light at infinite speed. The text associates this state with the infinite creator.
Okay.
If you try to imagine a source of light that travels infinitely fast, you realize it instantly fills any volume of space.
Because there's zero travel time.
Exactly. Zero travel time. Therefore, it is instantaneously everywhere all at once. In philosophical terms, the light is completely omnipresent.
Okay, let's unpack the mechanics of that because I feel like it sets up everything else.
Sure.
If light is everywhere simultaneously, it means it's a perfect lag-free system. Just imagine like a global consciousness where every single node, every single cell knows exactly what every other cell is doing at the exact same moment.
That lack of lag is the crucial mechanism here. Because this infinite light is perfectly present everywhere simultaneously, it instantly records every single thing that happens.
No delays whatsoever.
None. Any appearance, any disappearance, any tiny movement, they are all instantly known to the substance of the light. So this omnipresence naturally and mechanically creates omniscience.
Right.
The light is all-knowing simply because it is everywhere to witness everything instantly.
It's basically a universe-sized security camera system where all the feeds are watched by a single, perfectly focused mind.
That's a great way to put it. And following that logic further, if anything contrary to this light were to somehow arise, this infinite all-knowing light would instantly subsume or overcome it.
And because it's already there.
Exactly. There's no blind spot for an enemy to hide in, no delay in the light's response. This makes the infinite light omnipotent or all-powerful.
Wow, okay.
And finally, because everything is perfectly connected without any separation, a perfect harmony prevails. It is omni-harmonious.
So it's the ultimate perfect state.
Yes. The source material describes the origin of creation as a mystery that decides to manifest its intent, taking the form of the opening of an eye that flashes forth this exact, perfect, infinite light.
The opening of the eye, that is such an incredible visual.
It really is.
But, you know, for a universe of varied forms, challenges, and individual experiences to actually exist, light cannot solely remain in this native, infinite, perfect state.
Right. A perfect system doesn't allow for growth or narrative.
Exactly. Which brings us to the exact opposite boundary of this cosmology light projecting itself at zero speed.
And if infinite speed is perfect connection, zero speed is absolute isolation.
Total opposite.
Right. If light has zero speed, it cannot move to fill the volume. It cannot connect point A to point B.
It's just stuck.
Completely stuck.
Yeah.
And because it cannot connect anything, it cannot transmit or record any information.
It's the ultimate sensory deprivation. I mean, if infinite light is that perfect omniscient global consciousness, then zero speed light is like being locked in a sensory deprivation tank where you can't even feel your own limbs.
That's a spot on. And we can trace the mathematical consequences of that sensory deprivation.
Okay, how so?
Well, the omniscience we just talked about instantly collapses into complete ignorance. The omnipresence shatters into extreme fragmentation.
It's just totally broken apart.
Yeah. The text refers to this terrifying reality as the dark bosom.
Yeah.
It's an absolute darkness emptied completely of all the native possibilities of light.
I want to focus on how the source material describes what actually emerges from this dark bosom, though, because it doesn't just stay an empty void.
No, it doesn't.
The extreme weakness and fragmentation give birth to the Titans. The text details how the original four powers of light, so omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and omniharmony, become their absolute twisted opposites.
They manifest as the sons of darkness.
Right. These veritable titans that rule through fear, aggression, decay, and deceit.
And the mechanism behind these titans is fascinating. Evil and darkness aren't presented as invading forces from some alternate hell dimension.
They're not, like demons from outside.
No, they are simply the physical and psychological consequence of light losing its momentum.
Oh, wow.
When there is zero connection between points of existence, there is absolutely zero empathy. Complete isolation breeds absolute selfishness.
Because you can't even perceive anything outside of yourself.
Exactly. In this cosmology, that mathematical selfishness manifests physically as decay and psychologically as malice and aggression. That is what a Titan is.
That is such a brilliant way to frame it. I mean, darkness isn't a thing, it's just a speed.
A speed of zero.
Right. It's light, paralyzed at speed zero. The monsters in the dark are just the natural result of total cosmic blindness.
And these titans hold sway over any world that attempts to emerge from this darkness. They are the undisputed kings of the dark bosom.
And they want to keep it that way, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. Their entire imperative is to keep things divided, to keep structures small and fragmented, because unity and connection threaten their power.
Okay, I'm struggling with a massive logical leap here, though.
What's that?
If these titans of darkness have absolute control and everything is paralyzed at zero speed, we shouldn't exist.
Right.
There shouldn't be a universe. How did we get a structured physical universe with rules, matter, and gravity out of an environment characterized by total disarray and isolation?
That paradox is the engine of the entire mythology.
Okay.
The secret of the dark bosom is that even in absolute zero-speed darkness, the latent essence of light remains.
It doesn't just die.
No. The light hasn't vanished from existence. Its speed has just been suppressed. It's trapped.
Huh.
But those four original properties of light knowledge, power, presence, and harmony are fundamental. They stubbornly try to express themselves, even from within the suffocating darkness.
They're trying to execute their base programming in a completely hostile operating system.
They are. And their struggle to express themselves creates the very first cohesive manifestations in the universe: space, time, energy, and gravity.
Wait, really?
Yes. Think of them as the ghosts of the infinite light's powers. Space is the constrained, limited attempt at omnipresence.
Okay, that makes sense.
Time is the fragmented, sequential attempt at dynamic omniscience. Energy is the dimmed, struggling attempt at omnipotence. And gravity is the desperate attempt at omniharmony and connection.
Gravity is a desperate attempt at harmony. I love that. The source material actually gives a beautiful name to this phenomenon.
Forbidden love.
Yes, forbidden love. Because this underlying urge for oneness, this gravitational pull for particles to connect and build something larger, it completely contradicts the fragmented, isolated nature of the dark bosom and its Titan kings.
It is literally a rebellion of connection in a realm that demands isolation.
It's so poetic.
And this forbidden love sparks a massive cosmic chain reaction. This urge to connect, this rebellion, forces the creation of an electromagnetic wave archetype mass potential field.
That's a mouthful.
It is. But from there, it induces quantum particles, the quarks, leptons, bosons, and Higgs bosons.
Wait, hold on. Let's pause right there. I need to make sure we don't lose anyone in the quantum weeds here.
Sure.
This ancient-sounding mythology about flame beings and titans is actually citing the Higgs boson. Like, how does a philosophical, poetic concept like forbidden love physically translate into literal quantum mechanics?
Well, it is a direct translation. The text argues that physical matter is just the densest expression of these philosophical forces. Forbidden love is the urge to connect, right?
Right.
In physics, an urge to connect manifests as a magnetic field. When that field gets strong enough, it pulls potential energy into actual mass.
Ah, I see.
That's the role of the Higgs field in modern physics, giving particles mass. So, driven by this law of forbidden love, these newly massive particles stubbornly bind together.
They're finding each other in the dark.
Exactly. They form complex atoms, organizing themselves into the SPD and F electron shells.
Okay, I see where you're going. Those electron shells, the SPD and F, they aren't just random orbits.
No, they're not.
They are the physical architecture of that love. They are layers of armor, particles holding onto each other in an embrace to survive the darkness. Layer by layer, atom by atom, matter is created in spite of the Titans.
You've grasped the exact mechanism. But this brings us to a tragic complication.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The source material reveals that this early matter is doomed. It refers to it as Titan matter.
See, that is exactly what I wanted to push back on.
Okay, go ahead.
If this matter is literally born out of forbidden love and the indestructible essence of light, shouldn't it be inherently good? Like, why does the text say it's doomed to become Titan matter and just fail?
We have to look at the environment of its construction. Imagine trying to build a magnificent, gleaming skyscraper, but you are forced to use a corrupted blueprint.
Okay.
And you have to lay your foundation in a swamp that is actively trying to pull the building down.
That's a great analogy.
The materials you're using, the atoms, they might be trying their hardest to stand tall, but the structural math of the environment is fundamentally flawed.
Right, because the environment is the dark bosom. The swamp is ruled by the Titans.
Yes. The matter is being constructed within the absolute darkness. So while the organizing principle is a beautiful spark of light, the material itself, the space and time it occupies, is thoroughly infiltrated by the reigning Titans.
It's infected from the start.
Precisely. The seed of light grows into Titan matter, which forms massive dark suns. It achieves temporary structure, sure, but it lacks a strong enough organizing principle to withstand the overwhelming, persistent gravitational pull of the fragmentation it was born from.
So gravity eventually pulls the skyscraper down into the swamp.
Exactly.
Which means this early universe has a ticking clock on it from the moment it's born. The flawed matter can't survive. It ultimately succumbs to the Titan's darkness, which forces the universe to undergo massive cosmic resets.
Right, and the text refers to these catastrophic resets as the dark praelia.
The dark praelia.
And praelia is the tragic, inevitable pullback of all this Titan matter, all these dark suns and galaxies, back into the absolute nothingness of the dark bosom.
Just erase.
Yeah, all that structure, all that desperate forbidden love, just swallowed up and dissolved.
And according to the legend in Dr. Malik's source material, this cycle of creation and destruction, this emergence and total collapse, it has happened six times.
Six times.
Six complete systemic wipeouts of the cosmos. We are currently living in the seventh creation.
Six immense failures. The Titans continuously reasserting their dominance over the light's attempt to build a home.
So, I mean, if the universe just keeps resetting and failing, what is the point? Why go through the trouble of creating Titan matter six times just to watch it shatter?
Well, it is not a total wipeout.
Ah.
The text emphasizes a crucial mechanism here. With every failed universe that dissolves back into the dark, a hidden knowledge settles into the very substance of the darkness.
Like a residue of the attempt.
Exactly that. The experience of that dissolved manifestation doesn't just vanish from the cosmic record. It deposits a memory, a hidden knowledge, into the dark bosom.
Okay, I follow you.
And over time, epoch after epoch, praelia after praelia, the fundamental nature of the darkness actually begins to change.
Really?
Yes. The dark bosom develops an unexplainable, almost instinctual yearning to choose light over darkness at its margins. It starts to remember what it felt like to hold structure.
That is an incredibly powerful concept. I mean, it's exactly like iterative machine learning or training an AI algorithm.
That's a very modern way to think about it. Yeah.
Right. Every time the system crashes a praelia, it doesn't just reboot from a blank slate. It retains the data of its failure. It keeps the hidden knowledge in its code. The universe was literally learning how to hold light, iteration by iteration, failure by failure.
The universe was learning resilience.
Yeah.
And by the time of the sixth creation, what the text calls the last praelia, this hidden knowledge had accumulated to a tipping point.
It finally worked.
Almost. The light almost achieved a perpetual victory in that sixth attempt. It still ultimately yielded to the darkness, triggering the sixth reset. but a cosmic threshold had finally been crossed.
Something shifted.
Exactly. The fundamental cry emanating from matter itself had changed. It no longer just wanted to exist. It yearned to be transformed into something permanent.
And that massive accumulation of hidden knowledge, that desperate cry from the ruins of the last Pralaya, that is exactly what triggers the infinite light to change its tactics.
Then had to adapt.
The creator realizes the old method isn't working and deploys a completely new, mathematically precise strategy to defeat the Titans once and for all, which honestly brings us all the way back to the core mystery of this deep dive.
The secret is Ikli, the speed of light.
Yes. The infinite light looks out, hears this changing cry of matter from the dark bosom, and prepares a multifaceted descent.
Right.
But crucially, it doesn't project light at infinity this time because infinite light is too overwhelming to interact with fragile matter.
It would just instantly consume it.
Right. And it certainly doesn't project it at zero because that creates the Titans.
Exactly.
It projects light specifically at C, 186,000 miles per second in a vacuum.
And we have to analyze the why here. Why does this specific numerical speed achieve what infinite speed could not?
Why that number?
Well, according to the text, the physics of light projected at exactly day P fundamentally changes the basis of matter. It is a Goldilocks zone.
Not too fast, not too slow.
Right. It creates a vibrational harmony that isn't completely rigid like zero speed, but isn't entirely formless and overwhelming like infinite speed.
It's an upgrade to the cosmic source cone. It allows for a specific type of flexibility.
Flexibility is the key. The harmony of this specific speed allows the information contained within light to express itself materially in a way that is profoundly different from the doomed Titan matter.
So it's fundamentally built different.
Yeah, it creates matter that has the inherent capacity to increasingly open itself up to receive more light.
Oh, wow.
It isn't a closed, rigid system that eventually snaps under the Titan's pressure. Because it can constantly receive, adapt, and integrate more light, it gradually builds an immunity to the Titan's gravitational pull toward decay and fragmentation.
That is brilliant. And the source also introduces a new, incredibly powerful dynamic to this seventh descent. It mentions the arrival of a presence simply called Her.
Yes, Her.
Who is she in the context of this physics-based mythology?
Her is the personification of the active contending force of the light's core. If the infinite light is the passive observing eye, then Her is the warrior archetype born of this specific frequency of C.
She's the one actually doing the fighting.
Exactly. She descends directly into the darkness to actively fight the Titans. Her arrival, armed with the physics of C, results in what the text calls the Big Bang, or crack.
So the Big Bang in this cosmology isn't just an explosion of random gases.
No, not at all.
It is a tactical strike. It is Her shattering the absolute darkness to make room for this new upgraded matter.
And that strike ushers the first real permanent substance into what the text calls the Sea World Embryo.
The Sea World Embryo.
Which is our universe. It is vital because in the previous six creations, matter was born in darkness, which meant it eventually returned to darkness.
Right.
But in this seventh creation, within this Sea World embryo vibrating at 186,000 miles per second, birth in light finally begets birth of light.
The foundation is finally stable.
Yes. The text suggests that because of the specific resilient physics of light at sea, a dark Pralaya never has to happen again.
Wow.
The Titans can no longer force a systemic reset.
Let's bring this all together for you, the listener, because the implications are just staggering.
They really are.
The speed of light that 186,000 miles per second you learned about in school isn't just a physical restriction on how fast a rocket ship can travel or how long it takes a radio wave to reach Mars.
No.
In this cosmology, it is the exact intentional architectural frequency required to build a permanent, stable reality. It is the perfect vibrational sweet spot that allows physical matter, your body included, to exist without the Titans of fragmentation being able to pull it apart.
It is quite literally the speed of survival. It is the precise calibration needed to maintain the victory of light, structure, and connection over absolute isolation and fear.
It makes you look at the physical world entirely differently.
Absolutely.
I want to ground this immense, sweeping cosmic mythology directly into your daily reality for a moment. Tomorrow, when you step outside and you feel the warmth of the sun on your face, or when you just look down at your own hands and think about the complex atoms, you know, those S, P, D, and F shells acting as layers of armor making up your skin and bones.
Beautifully said.
You are looking at the physical, victorious manifestation of forbidden love. You are existing right now in the C world embryo, and the very substance of your being is vibrating at exactly 186,000 miles per second.
It's the exact frequency needed to keep you safe from the dark pariah.
So cool.
You know, if we take a moment to reflect on the deeper philosophical implications of Dr. Malik's work, it leaves us with a profound lens through which to view our own human struggles.
Oh, I like where this is going.
The source material emphasizes that the universe itself required six catastrophic failures, six complete and total systemic collapses, just to deposit enough hidden knowledge into the dark to finally give birth to a permanent stable light.
The universe had to fail six times to learn how to survive.
Right. So, if that is true for the grand scale of the cosmos, how should you view the catastrophic failures in your own life?
Wow.
Perhaps your personal pralayas, those devastating moments where everything you've built seems to fall apart and return to darkness, aren't total defeats at all.
They're just iterations.
Exactly. Perhaps they are simply the necessary accumulation of hidden knowledge, the essential data required to ultimately build your own unbreakable foundation.
A foundation built on the intentional frequency of light. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the dawn of flame beings. Keep exploring and keep building.